Let's pray together. Lord, I just pray that the words of our mouth and the thoughts in our mind are pleasing in your sight, and continue to work among us, and may the Spirit speak to us through your word so that we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit convicting us, encouraging us, and bringing us before you, Lord, closer to you, and do things that are pleasing in your sight, Lord. We pray all these in your name. Amen. The young people in this generation are busy. We call them the net generation. The net generation is more likely to turn on their computer, interact in several different windows, talk on the telephone, listen to music, do homework, read a magazine, and watch television as like a background for them. And the bottom line is they are very busy all the time and creatures of the moment. What about the working group? How busy and stressed out they can be? Can they be? In 2005, there was a survey that surveyed 114 CEOs, find that the working group is increasingly busy too. 75% of them agree that they have a greater health risk from mental health conditions such as stress and burnout. So I work in the mental health field, and I know how stressed out people can be. So generally speaking, there are three types of busyness and stressed out. First is physical fatigue. You got a tired body and sore muscle. You know, some of you may feel like, oh, my neck is tense, or I have a headache, or my back is bothering me. It's because you are stressful, you know. You got sore muscle. And secondly is mental, emotional stress and fatigue. And then you could have anxiety attack, or you get anxious, you get overwhelmed, stressed, and drained. Some of you, you know, you sleep good and you're fine with everything, but at times you feel like you're just falling apart. And because you get anxious. And thirdly, that's the worst, is spiritual fatigue. You feel like a dry spirit. It's the deepest type of fatigue and takes a long time to recover. So hopefully none of us here are suffering from this spiritual fatigue. But at times, if we do, we need to really, you know, take a break from everything. And we do live in a crazy world, you know. I remember a few months ago, I was meeting up with a pastor, and he told me, Fanny, everybody is saying that I am busy. You know, if you're not busy, that means what? It means that you're not worth it. Nobody wants you. or there's something wrong in you. You know, so that's why when people ask you, how are you doing? And you often say, I'm busy. That proves that you're worth something. But that's a danger there too. You know, if you are experiencing one of those type of fatigues that I described to you, this message is for you. And what I'm going to share with you are just the Christian basics. For years when I was teaching baptismal class, you know, and I like the basics. You know, basics are important, though. You know, I know some of you got baptized, so maybe, you know, this is worth for you to know. And I remember when my youngest son was back in junior high, he started with an ice skating lesson, you know, because he had to play hockey. Before hockey, they have to do some ice skating lessons, you know. So they have to learn how to skate, you know, forward, backwards, and how to stop on the ice. And some of you that are playing hockey or, you know, doing ice skating, you know, those basics are very important. And I was impressed how many coaches they had, you know, when they were on the ice. And out of 10 kids, there were at least 5 coaches. It's a ratio of 2-to-1, helping them to make sure that they know how to go forward, backwards, and stop on ice. And as a church, we need a lot of coaches too, for young Christians, you know, to deal with the basics, to learn with the basics. Otherwise, like with a hockey player, if they are not able to move around properly, they're going to fall on ice. And that's the same with us too, as young Christians. If we don't do the basics good, you know, we're going to be going into temptation or not able to grow properly as a Christian. So the key to basic for Christian is your quiet time and be still before the Lord. That's part of what we talk about in Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, there's a godly prescription for pressured people and busy people if you experience any forms of fatigue. Another thing is, if you're going through something, if you're going through a dark valley, if you're going through a storm in your life, there's a prescription before you too. This prescription is, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Now, when I meditate on this passage and thought about what we need, I come across, the Lord was showing me something. How do you spell that word, still? S-T-I-L-L, right? So we're going to contemplate along that line. S stand for seated, T stand for thankful, I stand for I, L stand for lie down. Now, in Psalm 46, verse 1-3, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quack with their surging. What does it say in here? It says there's a spiritual serenity in spite of the shaking mountains and agitated water. You know what? If just imagine you being in this tiny boat, having a storm around you, what would you do? If Jesus is there in the boat with you, what can you be afraid of? And not only Jesus is in the boat with you, he's in fact the Lord of the storm. And if you are going through something like a storm or something turbulent, he's in charge of that. I just came back from a cruise in the Mediterranean, and that was like my first cruise. It was a funny experience because I took some motion sickness pill, you know, to make sure that I would be doing okay. But I remember when the boat was moving in the first couple of hours, and I was like running around like a maniac. And I asked my husband, I feel dizzy and whatever. And my husband say, just calm down, maybe lay down and sleep, you know. That's what he was doing. And I was running around trying to get this or get that, you know. And it wasn't even a storm. It was like the waves, you know, moving the ship going forward. And I could feel the waves, you know. And at that time, I follow my husband's prescription. He said, just lay down. So I took a shower, lay down. It was like the water was rocking, you know, around me, and I was falling asleep quickly. Be still, you know? So S stands for also seated with God. Psalm 46 was written in the New Old Testament. In the Old Testament time, they don't have the Jesus there, you know, but they know that the Lord is in charge of the storm. Right now, we are living in the New Testament. In the New Testament, one of my favorite verse is Ephesians chapter 2, 6. Like that song, crown him. Like that song that we just sang this morning. This word says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Of course, we know that the Lord seated in heaven. And you know what? Each and every one of us that are believers, we seated with him in heaven too. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. You know what? Not only God is seated there, we are seated there with him too, when we are Christians, when we are even new believers. Our status on earth is seated with him in the heavenly realm. How can this be? I don't understand that verse though. How can we, being on earth, seated with him in heaven? You know? And I remember it was a couple of years ago that when I was taking a trip, flying from Florida back to New England. At that time, I lived in the state of Rhode Island, that the Lord revealed to me something beautiful. My plane was passing like Georgia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., New York, and Connecticut. And then the clouds were below me. It was, I was in a airplane, Southwest airplane, you know. And then the air hostess were wearing shorts, you know. It was back in August. And I could see highways, traffic, houses, forests, lakes, and river underneath when I look out from the plane. It was like a miniature world. You know what? Suddenly everything in this world makes sense to me. We are seated on the throne with God. As status of Christians, we are next to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where we are at. What we see and consider as a big deal is not a big deal when you look down from heaven on earth. Everything that seems major may not be major. You think it's a big deal for you, you know, to go through something. It could be difficult situations, it could be annoying people or broken relationship, challenging kids, disappointments, satanic attack, even adversity, you know, even a blow in your life, or you lost your job. I remember that as my kids were working on papers, the scariest thing that can happen to them is suddenly they lose everything in the computer, and then they panic, you know, and then they say, Mom, and then I go and say a prayer for them. I say, Lord, just have mercy in this situation. Help them to recover those files, you know. Our God not only seated on heaven, but we are seated with him there too. So we can be still. When we are with the Lord, not only we live on earth, but our status is seated in heaven. T stands for thankful. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's hard for us to give thanks in difficult situations, right? So it's easier when we are saying, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm being blessed this way. My grades are good. I have good health and my jobs are doing well. and we don't fight in the family, or my friends and I get along, or even if I have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or I'm ready to get married. But it's hard for us to be thankful when we are going through difficult situations. You know what? The downfall of the Israelites is when they were entering the promised land, they were in that process, they were complaining and grumbling. And we could be in that disposition anytime. In 5 minutes, you could be singing praises to God and be thankful. Another few minutes, you could be complaining and grumbling. And what happened with the Israelites is the consequence of that grumbling is they cannot enter into the promised land. Most of them, except a few, could enter into the promised land because of their complaining and grumbling attitude at that time. And in Ecclesiastes 4, says something like this: it's better only to have a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. So we have to be thankful for what we have. A lot of times we want more, right? We want more money, we want more things. But you know what? All these things cannot last very long though. And I remember that when we moved from the States to Canada, to Toronto, I threw out like half of what I own. And I said to myself, why am I so stupid keeping or have all these stuff, you know, in my garage or closet for so many years, you know? The Lord was teaching me a big lesson, not to accumulate as much, you know? And in fact, the Lord wants us to treasure each other's relationship and treasure His Word, because these things have eternal value. If you spend more time with personal relationship instead of just talking with someone or texting someone all the time, meet up with them personally, because these are relationships that last. And these will help you, because these things have eternal value. And if you invest your time in fellowship or serving the Lord, these are things that have eternal value too. And just enjoy the things that we have, you know, and just try not to complain the things that we don't have, you know. When we focus on the things that we do have, we'll be thankful. In verse 8 of Psalm 46, what does it say? Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. What does it say in here? The battle do not belong to us. It belongs to God. The Lord is saying, hold off your hands, enemies. No matter how hard you try, you will not win, because you are fighting against God. That's happening in Israel, doesn't it? When I went to Israel recently, the tour guide told us, is that Israel is like a cactus. A cactus, what happened is, if you touch a cactus, they have thorns in the cactus, you'll get hurt. Israel, the nation of Israel, has been hurt for many times throughout all generations. But the Lord was protecting them. He was the one that made the war cease to the end of the earth. And this passage is being fulfilled throughout the Israelites' history. The Lord is saying, I am fighting your battle. Your battle belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. For believers, sit down and wait in patience. You are protected from His grace. So the tourist guide told us, he said, if you want to hurt Israel, you'll get hurt too. That's what's going on. Because The battle belongs to God. And how many times have we learned to be thankful even for our battles? Because some of these battles that are going on in our life is teaching us something. The Lord is showing us something through His work, through all these adversities or trials or tribulations. I stand for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This word be still is a reprimand of those who are striving against. They are to stop striving and realize God's power and His effort against God are fertile. You know, even at church, a lot of times we're so busy serving the Lord, like religious leaders of those days in Jesus' time. We can be religious, but not having an intimate relationship with God. We could be coming to church all the time, week after week, but not being drawn closer to God. You know, it's like a burden at times, you know. Some people told me, Mrs. Tam, you know what? Sometimes I feel when I'm at church, I'm more like filled with all these complaints or what things I have to do. I'm so burdened. That's the problem with I. And the biggest temptation, right? We think that the more we have our say, the more that we are in charge, the more that we are worth it. What's the consequence of being domineering and controlling? We get anxious, you know, if we are controlling, our blood pressure will get higher, then we'll fall apart eventually. We cannot play God. We have to learn to let go. And Philippians tell us, I can do all things only through Christ who strengthens me. And when Christ called each and every one of us, is a journey of self-denial, is denying our right to be our own authority. This having in mind the things of man, this living in the flesh, could easily be transferred to Satan's authority. Actually, be our own boss is nothing but a myth. It's only when we learn to surrender, I can do all things through Christ who enables me. It's not me who is doing it. It's the Lord that's enabled me. And within the last week, the Lord was teaching my husband and I something about this, though, is we cannot do a lot of things at times, you know, because the used car that we use broke down a couple of times. And I remember that on Thursday when we went to somewhere, it broke down and we cannot start the car. So my husband said, let's say a prayer. So after we pray, and then we saw this next car next to us, and they are Chinese too. So my husband talked to them, and they help us to restart the car. So there you go. We praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, you know. And then yesterday, it happened the same thing too. But the second time, I do better. Instead of panicky, I say, well, the Lord is in charge. So just take it easy. So I told my husband, just relax and chill out. It's going to work out. Although we haven't faced that type of situation for the last 15 years. This never happened to us, you know, because we normally don't use cars at all, you know. Well, the thing is, when we come before Him, He opened up a door for us, you know. What can be wrong? It's the Lord. He's still there for you. He's not only in charge of your boat, He's the Lord of your storm. He's there for you. And he wants to show it to you how mighty he is, you know? So I'm telling my husband, I said, well, the Lord is teaching us a lot of different lessons that we can only do things through him, not through us, though, you know? And L stands for lie down. Be still means cease striving and know that I am God. And be still forces us to think about two things, that we are finite and God is infinite. That being the case, we need to drop our hands, go limp, relax, and chill out. And in Hebrew, that word, rafa, means slack, to let drop, or in some instances, to be weak. And at times, we want to do all the work and give God none of the credit. We want to do it on our own without any divine dependence, doesn't it? And that's how we get into trouble. And we will be busy trying to fix everything. We'll be busy trying to do it on our own. That's why we got all these types of fatigue here. But when I look at Psalm 20, 23rd Psalm, the strange thing about sheep is because of their very makeup, it's impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four threads are being removed. And sheep are timid, though. They refuse to lie down when they are afraid or insecure. When sheep have friction with other sheep, they cannot lie down. When they are tormented by flies or other parasites, they refuse to lie down too. And when they are hungry, they would not lie down either. So when I'm thinking about this, I was with Shelley's dog Berkeley for the last couple of days, and I could see the same scenario happen to Berkeley, you know? So not only sheep, some other animals have that problem too. So it's impossible for them to lie down unless a shepherd makes them to lie down, rest and relax. When you are too overworked and too involved with your friends or relationships or going through a storm, our loving Lord wants us to invite you to him and be still in him. When you are be still in him, you're able to lie down. You know what? Office work, housework, or even church work will never get finished. Don't worry about relationships either. Some of you may be worrying about this or that, or your family or your friends. And nobody can really completely take care of you, your needs or their needs. Come to him. Come to Jesus just as you are. Are you willing to respond to Jesus calling you to be your shepherd? At times, he's going to make you lie down. At times, that's why we are sick, so that we have to lie down, right? And when the sheep or even a dog has a loving relationship with their owner, with the shepherd, the presence of their master being there puts them at ease like nothing else could. When the shepherd makes them lie down, they submit to the shepherd. Do we learn to submit to the Lord when the Lord say, stop it, lie down, it's enough. Don't try to be so busy and do your own thing. Listen to me, be still before me. Just relax, chill out, drop your hands, go limp. Are we willing to do that? And I just want to read Pastor Rick Warren's recent blog to you to encourage you to just be still before the Lord every day. It's like a spiritual discipline, huh? This is what Pastor Warren said. You say, I want to trust God, but I don't hear Him. To hear God, you have to get near to God. You don't hear God when your mind is filled with a thousand other distractions. You've got to get alone with God and be quiet. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That means sit down and shut up. That's how you hear God and get near to God. You have to sit alone and just be quiet with your Bible and say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? You read God's word and you talk to Him about what's there on your heart. Pray this today. Lord, I want to listen to you, not the voices of doubt. I want to hear you, and I promise to then obey you. I want to be one of the people that you can use and bless in the next 10 years. I want those years to be a decade of destiny for me and my family. So I want to encourage you before you go to school or right after school to just have your quiet time. Be still before the Lord. Before you get on to your computer or text someone or talk on the phone, just come before His presence. Even 10 minutes will make a big difference in your life. And there's a book that I love about our Chinese spiritual giant, Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee once said, no quiet time, no breakfast. And I want to guarantee, if you have no quiet time, no breakfast or dinner, whatever, you're willing to honor the Lord, be still, and come before His presence every morning and throughout the day, and give Him your first fruit, not the leftovers. You know, a lot of us give God the leftovers, you know, energy, you know, at the end of the day, but not the first fruit. And this will help you to grow, definitely, because then you fulfill a perfect requirement for Christian basics. The Lord will bless you. There's a joy in obedience. There's a joy in obeying the Lord, to follow Him. And I was, like you guys, very blessed, and I was a reborn Christian at 13. And then the Lord called me at 19 to serve Him in a retreat. And at that time, I didn't know that I would be a pastor wife, you know, or, you know, whatever the Lord called me to do. But I submit to Him. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to, at 19, I'm willing to follow your footstep. And then the Lord provided all these different paths for me, for further training to be a pastor wife, you know. And that's how, that's the key of blessings, is obeying Him. When we obey Him, He will open up doors for us to bless us more. So that we, whatever we do, He will bless it though. And not only He can change us, He can transform our life. He can use us too, because we will be a vessel in His hand. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that You're speaking to us today, Lord, and just pray that Your word will penetrate our hearts and minds, so that we can experience Your change. Speak to us. Use the Holy Spirit to prompt us to do the right thing and be willing to come before Your presence every day, Lord. And we pray all these in Your name. Amen.